This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want to talk to you for just a minute on why is the bear killing our children? 2 Kings chapter number 2 tonight, verse number 23. If you found that, say amen tonight. Amen. That was pitiful. If you found that tonight, help me and say amen. Good. Let's read in verse number 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. It's an odd passage of Scripture. If you read it just on the surface of it, there's an aspect of it and you say, what a cruel thing. They were just making little jokes and they were just kindly laughing a little bit at the prophet Elisha. You got to understand, though, what is going on in this passage of Scripture. As you come to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha has just seen his mentor Elijah go back to heaven. And you have seen him as he has now done his second miracle as he's crossed over the Jordan River back into the land of Israel. And as he has, second of all, healed the poisonous water that was there at Jericho. I have seen that fountain of water. I have actually taken our group. There is a tourist site, and then there is the actual fountainhead spring that I take people in. And I have seen there where he casts in and he heals what they call the noxious water. It literally means poisonous. And evidently some type of wormwood root or something had gotten into that water and had made it where you could not drink it. Elisha has healed that, and he's now on the road back from Jericho, and he's headed back to Bethel. As he goes back to Bethel, there is a group of kids. The Bible says they are children, but you got to understand that when your King James Bible uses the word children, it can mean anything from a range of a baby all the way up to a young man. These were probably teenagers. The reason we know that is because there's a big group of them, and you and I both know that, number one, the only people that play out in the woods are a group of teenagers when they're huddled together. And so there's this group of teenagers, and as they go out into the forest, they see the man of God pass by whose name is Elisha, who is like most men in Bible days and in current Jewish culture. After a certain amount of time, they lose their hair. Jewish men are notorious for having thinning hair, and then they bald very easily, and most of them began it around at the age of 30. Elisha is probably in his mid-40s at this point. Now, what they say to them is they say, Go thou up, thou bald head. But what they're actually saying in that day is they're calling him an empty skull. They're saying he's an ignorant man. They're saying he's a man that doesn't understand, and he's got a big head, but an empty skull. And they look at him, and Elisha turns on them. And as he turns, the Bible says he pronounces upon them a curse. And as he pronounces the curse upon them, the Scripture tells us that two she-bears come out. Now, you and I both know there is nothing more ferocious than a she-bear when somebody's been walking through her nest. And that's what's happened. These boys have been walking through. And I was up at Hanging Rock praying about a month ago. And I had not been up there before this past Wednesday in a month. I normally go up every other week. And when I went up there, I went off on a trail, the Magnolia Spring Trail, that I normally don't go off on. And when I got up into that trail, there was what looked like the consistency of squirrel hair, Scott, but it was too much to be a squirrel. It was probably a coyote. And it looked like you had put a stick of dynamite on the inside of this. It was everywhere. Well, I'm going to be downright honest with you. I thought whatever got that, that's exactly what I thought. So I went back and I got back on the trail and I went to the ranger, went back to the house or the park ranger's, whatever you call that, the office. And I said to them, I said, do not think I'm crazy. I said, I don't have any pictures. I didn't have my phone. I said, but I'm telling you, something big tore something up down there. I said, I don't know if it was a mountain lion, bobcat. I said, but something bigger than that coyote tore that thing to pieces and licked it clean. I said, there ain't a stitch of blood or flesh up there. I said, something licked it clean. And that park ranger, that lady, the lady working at the desk was obviously, you know, brand new. And she went, oh my. Ho-ho, that's not what you want to hear. So she went and got the park ranger. And the ranger came out, and I told her the story, and she said, oh. She said, we've had a problem with black bears in that area. She said, what I'm guessing is it's about the time of year when black bears start having cubs. And she said, if a mama black bear feels that her cubs are threatened, she will chase a predator 10 miles. 10 miles. She will not stop until she rips it to pieces. That's exactly what happened to these kids. And I want you to imagine as word gets back, 42 kids are killed. Now you can imagine, you got to get Bible understanding in your brain. You imagine two mama bears coming out, start ripping kids to pieces. You know what kids, what teenagers are going to do? You think they're going to stand there and say, I'm next? No, no, no. They scatter. So you can imagine the carnage as these bears went from one kid to another, chased down another, ripped another. You imagine word getting back to the moms saying, what do you mean a bear killed my baby? Next house, you can hear the wails as another one says, what do you mean a bear killed my kid? If you were to flip over, and I'm not going to ask you to, but Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 15, the Bible says that a roaring lion and a raging bear, it compares it to wickedness. Wickedness is compared to a bear. And every time you see a bear in the Bible, it's always used in a negative sense. It's a picture of the devil and the demons of hell. This past week, my Fox News alert came up. Active shooting at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. I hate to tell you this, but those things don't shock me anymore. I don't get shocked. I'm sad. It breaks my heart, but I'm not shocked about it anymore. It's as if we come to expect that this stuff, it's going to happen. I can't help but wonder, as those mamas got that phone call that their babies had been killed, I wonder if at any point they said, what do you mean my baby's gone? What do you mean somebody killed my baby? I don't know if you saw the picture of the man that shot him. I'm not what I'd call a spiritual guru, but I'm telling you, when I looked in eyeballs on that picture, I could see demons. I could see demons. You know what he was? He was eat up with the bears of hell. Why is the bear killing all of our kids? Why is it that our kids are being eat up by the demons and devils of hell? Why is it that we have to worry every time we send them to school, or every time they turn an iPad on, or every time they want to use our phone in a restaurant, or whenever so-and-so comes into the picture? We've got to worry about our kids getting eat up. What is it? Why are our kids shooting one another? Why is it that you can't even have guns in the house anymore? You got to lock them up with locks and inside of safes and on top of shelves and back behind bookcases. You can't used to. Somebody was telling me the other day, I can remember this when I was a young kid. They used to carry, boys used to carry hunting rifles in the back of their pickup trucks, and nobody shot anybody. Nobody, I mean, you just didn't deal with that. But you can't even have butter knives out and about anymore. People will take them and cut wrists and will do everything they can. And it's as if these bears are raging against our kids. What is going on in our world? Why is it that the bears are raging against our spirits and the bears are raging against our youngins? There are three things that I find here in this passage, and if you'll help me by the grace of God, I hope to enlighten some of you and maybe open up your eyes as to what your kids are facing. Number one, I want you to notice one reason why the bear ate these kids up. And Kim, this is not going to be the outline I gave Heather, so you may want to just, if it makes sense, it may go with me. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Number one reason why the bear ate these babies up is because of the baby's regard for the man of God. There was a regard for Elisha that these kids thought, this boy, this man, he has no idea. He's not the answer. But you've got to understand something about Elisha and prophets in the Old Testament. Prophets in the Old Testament were the physical sign that God was still with that nation. And they began to mock that pastor, that prophet. They began to mock that preacher. Now, here's what you've got to understand. Elisha is a type of somebody in the Old Testament. If Elijah is a type of the nation of Israel, then Elisha is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. If Elijah is a type of Moses, the law, then Elisha is a type of Jesus, the grace of God. What you've got to understand about these boys in the mind of God, they were not just laughing at a prophet. They were laughing at God's answer. They weren't just laughing at the man that had come to tell them the right way. They were laughing at the way that God had sent, and the truth that God had sent, and the life that God had sent. Can I tell you, yeah, listen, it may be popular, you may like it, lump it, bump it, trumpet, I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Do you know what we are getting in our nation? We are getting the fruit of what we have sown year in and year out, classroom in and classroom out. Listen, we can't send our kids down to Rome to get educated and not expect them to smell and act like Romans when they get back. You cannot send your youngins to all over and let them hear about evolution this and evolution that and right this and wrong that and homosexual this and abortion that and choice this. Listen, you may like it, walk out, stay in, doesn't matter to me. Here's what I'm telling you. You cannot filter that mess into their mind and just say, well, they think their way and they think their way. Listen, I'm not knocking public schools or public university, but you can't let your kids get in that without setting them down and saying, wait a second, time. Let me tell you that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And while they are telling you this, I am telling you the truth. We've got good public school teachers in here that are having to fight between this and that. And I want to commend you teachers that are in the public school. You keep your head up high and you keep being a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ where you're at. Let me commend you. You don't have to back up. You don't have to bend down. If they throw you in the fire, good God in heaven, I promise you, there'll be a fourth man in that fire with you, and you may go down, but you won't burn up. And if you catch fire, there is a water walker and there's a wave stealer and there is somebody that'll help you. But here is what you've got to understand. We cannot raise up an entire generation of kids who believe they came from monkeys and not expect them not act like they're hanging from trees and all that. You can't do that. And the reason that our nation is under the wrath of God is we have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, kids. You hear me? You may think I'm an old-fashioned, boring, dressed like an old man, wearing my socks up past my calves, whatever you want to think. But I'm telling you, what you do with Christ determines your blessing or your blisters in life. There is no other way around it. What you do with Christ determines whether you rise or whether you fall in this world. You cannot live apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and expect your life to be blessed by God. It will not happen. And here's what's happened. We have told these kids that they don't matter. They came from nothing. We've let iPads raise them. We've let iPhones raise them. We've let computers raise them. We let the TV raise them. It was cute. It was wonderful. And now they played Call of Duty 5 and 6 hours. They get mad about that stuff when you take it out. I'm going to say something. I'm an old fashioned. I know I'm 90 years old on the inside of this 33-year-old body. But there will be a cold day in a devil's hell before I let my youngins play 5 and 6 hours with some boy in Cambodia killing each other back and forth. You ought to take that box, blow it up, throw it out, give them a book, and teach them how to read a book instead of blowing each other up. Do not be surprised when they have no regard for human life because you have allowed them to blow one another up on a TV set. You say, I don't agree. I don't care. Research will show you that kids cannot take the dopamine and the pheromone in their mind. They cannot process this stuff, and it does not work in their minds, beloved. You cannot allow them to participate in the things that God says, I detest. All right? Now watch. Watch me and watch me well. I'm trying to help you, and here's what I want you to show. There are parents in our church who do their best to raise their kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I was a youth pastor for 7 years, okay? I don't know how kids didn't die. I was not good at it. I'm not good at this type of thing. It's all I can do not to strangle my own youngins, let alone people that I don't even know. But every single one of the kids in our youth group, people tell me kids get out of church, kids do this. I promise you, I can mark it down, the kids that were in my youth group, the ones that are still in church are the ones that were brought by their parents. If their parents brought them to church and actively participated with them on a real basis, those are the kids that are still in church today. Do you know why? Because that family, they were not perfect, but they did their best to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I ask you a question? Where do you think these kids learned that about Elisha? They learned it from some teacher at the house of the prophets. It was some liberal teacher who thought he knew a better way, who thought he had learned the right way, who thought he had come a long way, and thought he had got it all figured out. Listen, and these kids were eat up. These kids were ripped. And here's the problem with these teenagers. They don't know any difference. They're just spitting out what they've heard. And these kids that are in school today and in the university today, and now the kids that are becoming our politicians today, they don't know it. This is all they've ever heard. All they've ever heard of from liberal this and liberal that. Ladies and gentlemen, you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in your house, and I promise you, your kids will not be eat up by these bears of demonic warfare. Number two, I want you to watch this. It was their regard toward the man of God. Who was that man of God? He was a type of who? Jesus Christ. There'll be a lot of preachers that'll take that and say, you need to have your kids respect the preacher. Well, you do. But what if the preacher's a lowlife? Your kids need to love Jesus, and then they'll love a good preacher. You teach your kids to love the Lord Jesus, and then they'll love a good preacher. And if they love the Lord Jesus, then they won't accept a bad preacher. You know why? Because they'll have the Holy Ghost of God that is deciphering things in their life. That's number one. Number two, do you know why the bears eat them up? Number two, you have to understand the reality of the curse. Notice what Elijah did in verse number 24. The Bible says, as soon as they say that, he turned back and he looked on them and curse them in the name of the Lord. Now, I'll just be frank with you. I'm kind of looking, when I read that on the surface, I kind of look at him. I say, Elijah, you big baby, just keep going on. Ain't no need to curse people because they call you bald head. I mean, I've had people all the time make fun of me. It just is what it is. But there's more in the Hebrew than what meets your eye. That word cursed in the Hebrew, it's reflexive. Say that, it's reflexive. Say that, it's reflexive. I know y'all get so impressed when I use my Hebrew. Y'all don't laugh at my jokes anymore. I can't tell y'all how that hurts me so damn deep. It just bothers me. When something is reflexive, what that means is that the speaker is simply speaking what someone else has done. All right, Brother Doug, take your hand and just pop your hand. Just, okay? Here's Doug hit his hand. When I speak that, that's reflexive. I'm simply stating what he has done to himself. Does that make sense? When Elisha said, cursed be the Lord, cursed are you in the name of the Lord, he was not pronouncing a curse. He was simply expressing to them what they had brought upon themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I love America. I love the United States of America. I love red. I love white. I love blue. I love hot dogs. I love hamburgers. I love pinto beans. I love baked beans. I love everything about, I love stars and stripes. I love 13 stars, 13 stripes, however many stars. I love it all. I love the 4th of July. I love July 5th. I love July 2nd. I sure enough love November 13th. I love everything about. I love America. I love Washington, D.C. I love Raleigh, North Carolina. I love everything about it. But this is one thing that we have got to understand about the United States of America. Hear me and hear me well. Our nation has brought the curse of God upon herself. She did that in 1973 when Roe versus Wade went into effect and we began murdering babies in their womb, because God says in Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord doth hate, yea, seven of them are an abomination. The very one thing that God hates above all things are hands that shed innocent blood. God will recompense the fires of Molech upon a nation. And do you know what God is doing according to Romans chapter number 1 in our nation? The very fact that we murder our babies, the very fact that we butcher our babies, you know what God's doing? God doesn't cause people to shoot one another. God didn't make that boy go down into that classroom in Charlotte and blow those kids away. You know what God did? God simply said this. He said, that's fine. If you all don't want my way, I'll let you go just a little bit more. Romans chapter number 1 says that God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Do you know what happened several years ago when the Supreme Court said that we do recognize same-sex marriage as a marriage between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, and that's just the same as a man and a woman. Do you know what God did? The Bible says, according to Romans chapter number 1, that that is the final straw for any civilization. God will ultimately let that civilization go. The Bible says he turns them over to a reprobate mind. Do you know what happens when a reprobate mind takes place? Watch this. That's what happens when kids can look into the eyeballs of other kids and put a bullet right between their head. That's a reprobate mind. That's a mind that has been seared and it's been sharpened, and it's a mind that is so demonically driven. You say, what's going on in our culture where kids will kill kids? I'll tell you what it is. It's a culture that's been let go by God. It's a culture that's been turned. Listen to me. I don't like it any more than the rest of them. I don't like it any more than the end. Here's what you've got to understand, though. These kids had brought the curse of God upon themselves, and our nation has brought the curse of God upon itself. I'm not telling you that those kids in Charlotte, they said, oh, shoot me. No, no, no. You understand, it's a bigger picture than kids sitting in a classroom in Charlotte. It's people sitting in a courtroom. It's people sitting in a Congress. It is the wickedness of our leaders. leadership. It's the wickedness of our nation that says, you know what? I'd rather have a dollar bill than a righteous Congress. I'd rather have a check in my pocket from a beer organization and a liquor organization. Let me tell you something. Budweiser doesn't care about anybody but Budweiser, and Bud Light doesn't care about anybody but Bud Light. Hear me and hear me well. That mess is poison. That mess is of the devil. That mess was brewed in hell. You say, I cook with wine. I promise you, they make artificial flavors that taste better than any old liquor in some bottle. You ought to cook with salt or do like the rest of us and eat a Chick-fil-A. Say amen right there. Jesus is at that place. What I'm trying to tell you is all our nation, all you're seeing our nation do, we are not cursing them when we say it. We're simply telling them what's going on. You know what God did? These classrooms, these colleges where they tell these kids, listen, there is no God. Hear me and hear me well. These people say that there is no God and they hope that there is no God. You don't want to live in a world where there is no God. We don't even want to process what it looks like where there is no God. Can I tell you what the only place that ever has been where there is no God? It's a place called the Lake of Fire. Even in hell, the Lord has been there. David said in the book of Psalm 139, he said, even if I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there. But the Lake of Fire is the only place that's ever existed where God is not. Number three, there's a third reason. And all that's just, I want to give you one key at the end. There's number three, there's the readiness of the bears. You know why those bears ready to eat them kids? They'd scoped them out. When them youngins came through that mama bear's nest, that bear locked eyes on them. And I mean, she said, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to turn aside until I rip them in pieces. Brothers and sisters, I give you a warning. I tell you that right now, the very fact you sit in this church, the very fact you are a part of this ministry, the very fact you pray like you do and give like you do, I'm going to tell you what we've done. We've been kicking the devil's nest. We've been kicking at the devil's gate. And you know what happened, honey? He got stirred up and he said, I'm locking eyes on you. The devil's got his eyes on your family. He's got his eyes on your youngins. He's got his eyes on your kids. He's got his eyes on your home. He's got his eyes on everything. And I don't care how far you run, he's going to chase you down. I don't care how far you go, he's going to chase you down. Now here is my question. I said all that to say this. I know the devil's after you and he's not going to rest until he tears your family, harming family. I'm telling you, you start saying I'm going to go down and change a culture, you've done stirred up the devil's nest, honey, and he's got his eyes locked on you. He's got his eyes locked on that little baby. And here is the fearful part of my soul. I say, my God, what hope is it? If a bear's going to run that far, what hope is it? Here is my question. And I said all that just to say this. If you'll give me two or three more minutes, I think I can take us on to the house. Here is my question. Is there not any safety? Is there not any security? Oh, yes, there is, because I want you to look in verse number 24 at the end of the verse. The Bible says, and there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 40 and two children of them. 42 kids got killed that night. Here is my question. Was that all the kids that were in Israel that day? No, 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 no. There was a whole bunch of kids that didn't get ripped up by the bears. Do you know why? Number one, because their mama didn't let them hang out with that group. Number two, that mama and that daddy kept them in that house. You know what was going on in that day? You've got to understand what's going on. Ahab is in charge of this thing. Ahab is running the show. And Ahab is a wicked, godless man. And these mamas just said, you know what? All this filth and all this vileness is going on the streets. What kind of mama says, yeah, oh, that mess is going on out there in the streets. Y'all just go on out there and play in the woods. Y'all go on and on. There were some mamas in that day. You know what they said? They said, it's not safe out there. I'm going to keep you under the protective covering of my roof. I'm going to keep you under the shelter of my prayers. I'm going to keep you under the covering of my abode. Ladies and gentlemen, as a whole bunch of kids that night that did not get eat up by the bears, they did not get destroyed by the she-bears. Do you know why? Because some mama or some daddy cared enough and said, there's bears out there on the loose. There's bears out there, and I'm not going to let you go out there. You put them in that protective. You say, how do I keep the devil from getting to my kids? I'll tell you how you get them to protect them. Here's what you do. That day, you do realize Elisha was just as close as those kids were to that bear. But you know what those bears didn't have taste for? They didn't have taste that day for blood. Oh, they wanted blood, but they can't handle blood like Elisha had blood. You see, them young babies, they had warm blood. But Elisha had royal blood. You say, what kind of blood was pumping in his veins? Holy Ghost blood was pumping in his veins. You see, when the devil comes along to the world, he says, boy, they taste good. They taste like chicken. Isn't it amazing everything people say tastes like chicken? People tell me frog legs taste like chicken. Deer taste like chicken. Rabbit tastes like chicken. All these varmints taste like chicken. I got a question I want to ask to my beloved congregation. Bless God, why don't you just eat chicken? And I mean those bears saying, boy, them kids taste good. But as he locked his eyes on Elisha, I wonder if at any moment he said, I think that's a bigger piece of meat. I'll tear that guy and I'll have me a buffet from here to yonder. I'll have me a good meal. But something inside of him said, no, I can't eat him. He doesn't taste the same as the rest of them youngins. He's got something on the inside of him that doesn't agree with my belly. I'm telling you, you get you a family that's full of the Holy Ghost and protect by the covering of prayer. Keep those babies surrounded by prayer and in the house of God and under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you, the devil may tear up every youngin from here to kingdom come. He may tear apart every youngin from here, from Dan to Beersheba. But them babies that are under your covering and under your prayer, and you keep lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, those babies come home, honey, and they tell you, daddy, mama, I heard that we came from monkeys. You may not know everything about creation, but this is what you say, honey, you didn't come from a monkey. You came from the hand of God. You were created by God Almighty. When they come home and say, teacher says it's okay for a man to marry a man, you don't be ugly. Don't say vile words. That'll be how you make a monster at your house. Do not do that. This is what you say. You say, baby doll, sit down. I want to talk to you. That's not the right way. God said he created a man and he created a woman, and man and woman were supposed to marry. You tell those kids the truth, and down deep inside, when they see the Lord Jesus walk by, there'll be a reverence in their soul for them. There'll be a reverence in their heart for him. And they'll say, you know what? I don't need to bark on this. And that old liberal professor in that college somewhere tells them about this and tells them about that, that inside of them. They may not speak up in that class. They may not be like somebody that'll stand up and say, you're wrong, you're stupid, you don't even know what you're talking about. But down deep inside of them, here is what they'll say. They'll say, no, that's not right. My mom and daddy didn't teach me like that. I'm telling you, something's not G-ing in my spirit and hot in my spirit. And you know what you've just done? You've put them under the protective covering of your house. You put them under the protective covering of your home. You keep those babies in the house and keep them under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, as the bears rage and as they eat people alive, you'll have a baby that'll come home to you at night and say, mama, did you hear about the bears that ate those youngins? They didn't get me, mama. I stayed far away from them. I didn't go near them. And when they did lock eyes on me, they couldn't taste me. Why didn't they want to eat you up, son? I don't know. All that bear said, too much blood, too much power, too much protection, too much work. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, if you put your kids behind God the Father and God the Son Son and God the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus and the Word of God and the prayers of the saints and the house of God and the fellowship of the church and the love of Christ and the unity of the Spirit. Here's what's going to happen. When the devil comes to your house, he's going to say, my God in heaven, I'm not going through the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the blood of Jesus and the prayers of the saints and the fellowship of the saints. I'm not going through all that work to get to one little old snot-nosed kid that probably don't even taste like chicken. Say amen right there. You put your kids under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I promise you, the bear will not eat them up. And all God's people said,